Good morning. Welcome to this opportunity to come together as God's people, though scattered, and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm Steve Thayer. I'm pastor of Calvary Presbyterian Church in Enfield, Connecticut. And we are so pleased to have you joining us for this time of worship whenever you're watching it and wherever you're watching it. And it is our prayer that this be more than something that you simply observe, but that the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, draw you into an experience of worship and praise to God for the great God that He is and the great things that He has done. We are Calvary Presbyterian Church in Enfield, Connecticut. If you'd like more information about us, you can go to our website, www.calvaryenfield.org. There you could be put on our mailing list to be informed about other things that are going on in the life of the church. There's also an opportunity for you to make an online donation. Though we are not yet back in the building, we'll be soon, I hope. The ministry of this church and its people goes on, and we rely upon our covenant partners and friends for their support in prayer and finances. And so if you feel moved to make a donation, you can do so at our online donation page on our website. If you have a concern for prayer, you can email that to prayer@calvaryenfield.org, and you can either just simply share your concern and someone from our prayer team will pray for that. If you would rather have someone pray with you personally over the phone, include your phone number and a couple of convenient times, and someone from our prayer team will get back to you and pray with you. I would like to remind the members of the Calvary family of our virtual coffee hour following the initial broadcast of the service. Would encourage you to grab a cup of coffee or tea or your drink of choice and sign up on by Zoom 10 minutes following the initial broadcast of this service. And you can follow the email link that was sent out yesterday to you. As we prepare as God's people to worship, let us join together in prayer. Lord God, we have come to worship You in need of many things. We come as sinners in need of Your forgiveness. We come as a people weary of isolation and in need of refreshment and recreation. We come with worries in need of Your guidance and Your peace. And we are grateful that You welcome us as we are, O God. But we pray that as we come into Your presence and worship, that You would lift us out of our preoccupation with our own needs, and that by Your Spirit, You would allow us to see You with eyes of faith and to hear with ears of understanding what You have to say to us. Stir our hearts with gratitude for all the good that we have received from You. Awaken in us a longing for more and more of You. And make us aware of the great company past, present, and yet to come with whom we worship You this morning. And to You be all honor and glory and praise forever. Amen. I invite you to join with me now in our call to worship. We will give thanks to You, O Lord, with our whole heart. We will tell of all Your wonderful deeds. We will be glad and exult in You. We will sing praise to Your name, O Most High. Let us worship God in songs of praise.
As I sing to You this
Lord Jesus Christ, we do indeed come before you, and we thank you for the cross, for the hope and the life that we find in your great love. Almighty God, your love for us and for all people is powerful beyond measure. Your love is so vast that nothing will prevail against it. And we know that this love is trustworthy because of our Lord Jesus Christ, his life of compassion, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead. And we thank you that because of what you have done, that in life and death we belong to you and we hope in you and we can trust in you. And so we worship you this morning, Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to you be all glory and honor forever. When we come into the presence of God, we not only recognize his greatness and his graciousness, but we also recognize how much we are in need of his mercy and his grace each and every day. So we prepare to come into a time of confession. Hear these gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. All those who are tired of walking beneath the yoke of sin are invited to come to Jesus Christ in confession, that he might lift that burden from us. Let us pray. O God of steadfast promise, in the midst of a world which is not what we expected it to be 6 months ago, we confess that we yearn for easier days. Days when all seemed well, when things seemed familiar, and life seemed good. And as we have faced trials and difficulties, we confess that we have in many ways lost our grip on the hope we have in your promise, and are not so sure that you will complete the good work that you have started and that you have promised. We confess that in the midst of this, all too often our eyes have been on ourselves rather than upon you. Forgive us for giving up faith in you. Forgive us for discounting your enduring promises to us. Forgive us and fill us anew with your Spirit, that we may press forward in joy and confidence, doing your good work and trusting in your promises and purposes by witnessing to the good news of Jesus Christ, our only Savior. I invite you to come to the Lord now in a time of quiet personal confession. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners like you and sinners like me. He himself bore our sin in his body on the cross that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Let us continue to give glory to God by singing together that wonderful hymn of praise, Fairest Lord Jesus. As we prepare to hear God's word to us, let us join together in prayer. Prepare our hearts to accept your word, O Lord. Silence within us any voice but your own, that hearing we might also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Scripture lesson for this morning is taken from the book of Nehemiah. We'll be reading from chapter 6, beginning at verse 1 through 9, and then 15 through 16. Listen to the word of God. When the word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to the time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono." They were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply, "I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should I stop work while and leave it while I go down to you?" 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the 5th time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which it was written, "It is reported among the nations, Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews were plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building a wall. Therefore, according to these reports, you are about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together." I sent him this reply, "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking, "Their hands will get too weak for the work, and it will not be completed." But I prayed, "Now strengthen my hands." Then skipping down to verse 15, "So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this and all the surrounding nations saw it, our enemies lost their self-confidence, because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God." Here is a scripture lesson for this morning. The text that we'll be looking at is part of verse 9, "But I prayed, strengthen my hands." Having 3 grandsons who are now between the ages of 6 and 12 has reintroduced me to the genre of superheroes. They are very into superheroes. Now, my experience of them was rather slight. I mean, the only thing I really can remember was watching the old 1950s, the reruns of the 1950s show Superman. You know, that beginning narrated by kind of a local celebrity in Detroit, Bill Kennedy, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Yes, it's Superman. Mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. Well, things were simpler back then. The plots are much more complex. But essentially, what the attraction of it is that a superhero has the ability to do things that are beyond normal human strength. And don't all of us come to those points in our lives where we would desire that? Don't all of us come to points in our lives where we actually need that? Where we come to the place where we just don't feel that we have it on our own, and we need a power, a strength that is beyond our own. Well, an example of that is found in our Old Testament lesson for this morning. The context of this story was the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem under Nehemiah. which took place about 74 years after the first group of exiles had returned from captivity in Babylon. Now we read that Nehemiah had been the cupbearer of Persian king Artaxerxes. Now that was more than someone who, you know, fetched him a beer or got him his tea. A cupbearer often served as a personal confidant to the king and therefore possessed great influence. A group of exiles who were visiting from Judah, including Nehemiah's brother, had arrived in Persia reporting on how things were going in Jerusalem. And they told that the walls which had been torn down and the gates which were burned were still in ruins decades, you know, something like 70 years after the exiles' return. Nehemiah was dismayed at that news because he knew what it meant. And so he fasted and he mourned and he prayed for many days asking God what to do. I mean, Jerusalem was the Jews' holy city and their capital. And until the walls were restored, it and the people would never truly be secure. They never truly could know that they would remain in the land. So Nehemiah decided to do something. He had prayed about it and knew what God wanted him to do. One day, as he was serving the king his wine, the king noticed Nehemiah was sad, so he asked what was wrong. Nehemiah related how his hometown was in ruins and how he wanted to go there and lead the people to rebuild it. Amazingly, the king agreed to what was in effect a leave of absence, allowing him to go. You see here God answering prayer, moving the hearts of kings. And so after a long journey, Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem. He saw as it had been described. He assessed the situation and he formulated a plan and began to build. But almost immediately he began to face opposition. You see, building walls is more than just kind of putting up a fence to keep the dogs in or keep kids from running out in the street. You know, walls represented security and the determination that the Jewish people were going to stay, and not only that, that they were going to maintain their unique identity. And so Nehemiah faced oppositions. Forces sought to undermine the project from the very beginning, from without, but also from within. And by the beginning of chapter 6, much progress had been made. The walls were essentially rebuilt. But there was also a renewed wave of intrigue and opposition as they looked forward to setting the doors, that final piece in place. And Nehemiah recognized what was going on. That they were trying to threaten him, that they were trying to worry him, that in effect they were trying to wear him and wear the Jewish people down. Nehemiah wrote, "They were all trying to frighten us, thinking, their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed." See, they thought that the enemies were seeking to undermine them, to help them to get them to see that they were too weak to carry this off. And how did Nehemiah respond? Well, he prayed, "Now strengthen my hands. Strengthen, O God, my hands." You see, recognizing the stakes, Nehemiah called out for strength to the one, to the only one, who could and would supply. Nehemiah called out for strength to the living God. Now, the biblical words that are used for might and strength have to do with much more than physical ability or stamina, the ability to lift rocks or to set doors. Strength is first and foremost in Scripture ascribed to God. God is the strong one. He is proclaimed as mighty one. God's hand and arm are manifestations of his strength. God's strength reveals itself in creation and his providential rule over all things. His strength is particularly seen in past and present and future deliverance of his people and in the judgment of his enemies. By his strength, God guides and preserves. Strength is likewise a prominent attribute of the Messiah, of Jesus, who is also the object of God's strength in his conception and his ministry and his resurrection. God is strength. And according to Scripture, human strength is derivative. It comes from God. Yes, among non-believers, strength may become a source of arrogance, self-confidence. I mean, look at Goliath and how'd that work out for him. The oppression of others or rebellion against God. But strength is also seen as God's provision for his people. God is the source and supplier of all spiritual strength through which God's people can do all that God asks. And that is what Nehemiah sought when he said, strengthen my hands. Give me the strength, not just physical strength, but the spiritual strength, the emotional strength, the strength of character, to carry out what you've called me to do. Indeed, we see, the promise in Psalms that where the psalmist proclaims, God gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. You see, our God is a God who does not leave us in our own resources. We saw last week that God's power is made perfect in our weakness, and that God takes us as we are. He strengthens us. He gives us his power. He draws us to himself. He gives us his grace. He empowers us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be the people he calls us to be and do the things that he calls us to do. Our God is a God who strengthens our hands and our minds and our lives and our spirits so that we, like Nehemiah, can be faithful in the call that he has upon us. And so we, like Nehemiah, can be a people who look to God to strengthen our hands and to strengthen our lives and to strengthen our hearts so that we might serve him and live for him by faith. Well, how do we come to know this strengthening of hands and heart and lives from God? Well, we come to know that first of all when we seek him and when we pray for him. Throughout this narrative of Nehemiah, we can see two things. He was a man who sought God, and he was a man who prayed to God. And from the beginning of this book to the end, what we see in verse 9 is just one example of many of Nehemiah seeking after God and praying to him for wisdom and for guidance and for strength, so that he might be able to do what God was calling him to do. In this case, to be a means by which God restored the security of his people. And then later on in the chapter, we see by which God used him along with Ezra to restore his covenant with his people. See, if we desire to walk in the strength of God, we need to seek him and we need to pray for him, pray to him. That familiar hymn that many of us know, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You know, and I can think of times in my own ministry, you know, in this congregation where I've struggled and I'll be just to the place where nothing's getting done and nothing's able to work out and I don't see how anything's going to happen, and it's all kind of like, oh, maybe I should pray. And I pray. And I seek God. And isn't it amazing? Inevitably, the insight that I need, the words that I have to give, discernment about what to do comes. It comes when we seek God and when we call out to God. We receive His strength when we seek Him and we pray to Him. We also seek His strength when we wait on Him. You know, there's that very familiar passage in Isaiah 40. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Now, that can also mean those who hope in the Lord. But what it means is that we receive the strength of God when we put our trust not in ourselves, not in our abilities, you know, not in you know, our years of experience in ministry, although all those things are very valuable. But when we put our hope and our trust and we wait upon God for Him to reveal and for Him to provide. Finally, we see God strengthen our hands and strengthen our lives when having called out to Him and sought Him and waited on Him, when we then trust in the power and the grace that God has promised to carry out what He has called us to do, and then we just go ahead and do it. You know, it's more than just saying, oh God, will You do this for me? But it's a matter of relying upon God's strength and then stepping out in faith and in obedience to do what God has called us to do. And when we do that, we find ourselves walking in a strength and in a power and in a life that is more than just our own. And we are able to do and to become all that God desires. Now, at the end of all this, you know, Nehemiah prayed, strengthen my hands. And it's interesting, the part that we didn't read there was that there was just one more test where Tobiah and the guys were trying to get him, and because of God's grace, he doesn't fall into that trap either. And so this part of the book ends up this way. So the wall was completed in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard about this and all the surrounding nations saw it, our enemies lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of God. See, calling out to God not only gives us the strength to do what God calls us to do, but it also reveals His power to a world which needs to see it. I don't know about you, but many of us are in a place in these last 6 months when we have needed a strength that is beyond our own. I was reading an article this week in which it was a church consultant said he has never seen so many church leaders, you know, discouraged and tired and down. And and we look around at you know all that this COVID has wrought in the life of the church, and it is easy to get discouraged and say, you know, are things ever going to be able to get back to the way they were? Are ever things ever going to get back to church as we know it? And the truth of the matter is, in some sense, I don't know. But I do know this, that as we rely upon the strength that God would give, as we call out to Him and seek Him and wait on Him, that God will give us everything that we need, every wisdom, every insight, every bit of discernment, every skill set, so that we can be faithful in effect rebuilding the walls or rebuilding the Church of Jesus Christ. And I don't know, it probably is going to look like what we remembered. We probably aren't going to go back to what it was 6 months ago, but I believe that God has a great and a glorious purpose and a great and glorious future for the life of His church, for the life of this church. And as we, along with Nehemiah, cry out, Lord, strengthen my hands, and as we wait on Him and step forward in obedience as He reveals His purposes and His plans, that we are going to be used by God to build a church that I believe will be even more effective in reaching a lost and needy world with the glory of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus Christ. May we be a people who pray with Nehemiah, O Lord, strengthen my hands. And may we be a people individually and together who rely upon the faithfulness of God to provide for us the strength we need in every area of our lives and our life together. That we might not only be blessed in our own lives, but that we might bear witness to the grace and power of God to the people around us, to the glory of His holy name. Amen.
My soul. What can I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely to you.
What can I say? What can I do? But offer my life, O God, completely to you. As we come before the Lord, we recognize that He is our sufficiency and that He is our strength. That one of the ways in which we express that is through prayer. And so let us, as God's people, join together in prayer. For the church and for the world and for those whom we love. Let us pray together. Merciful God, we praise you that you give strength for every weakness, forgiveness for our failures, and new beginnings in Jesus Christ. We thank you especially this morning for the presence of your Spirit in our lives each and every moment. For signs of new life and hope that we can see even in difficult days. We thank you for the people in our lives who have helped us and encouraged us to become who you would have us be in Christ. We thank you for those who protect and those who serve, for those who struggle for justice and those who struggle for peace. We thank you for expressions of love in this world, unexpected or undeserved. Almighty God, you know all needs before we speak, yet welcome our concerns and our prayers for others. Hear us as we pray together now. Especially we pray for those who keep watch over the sick and dying, for those who weep with the grieving, for those who feel isolated, alone, and powerless. For those without faith, who cannot bring themselves to accept your love. We pray for our nation and all who are in positions of authority. We pray for those who serve in various ways on the front lines. We pray for our cities that you would bring both justice and peace. We pray for a culture that you would begin to bridge the divides that are so starkly apparent at this time. We pray for your church both here and around the world, that we would be faithful in doing the work of your kingdom. Particularly remembering the church in those areas of the world in which they face persecution. We pray for the advancement of your gracious kingdom as the gospel goes forth and as the values and the ethics of the kingdom are expressed in word and in deed. We pray for the grace to rely upon your strength, for our every need, and to empower our service, And we pray for people and circumstances which weigh heavy on our hearts. And we lift them to you in this time of quiet. Oh God, before we even know what to ask, you are at work fashioning out of your love everything that we can need. Give us grace and courage to witness to your wondrous love and to share in your work, which you have given us as disciples of Jesus Christ, our servant Lord, who taught his people to pray for the coming of the kingdom, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I invite you to join us in our final hymn of praise, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. Remember who you are. You are a people who have been loved with a great love, been redeemed by marvelous grace, and who are called and transformed for a glorious purpose. Remember who you are and walk in whom God has called you to be, trusting not in your own strength, but asking like Nehemiah that God would continually strengthen your hands and your hearts and your minds, that we might be all God calls us to be and do that all that God calls us to do. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.